Welcome to the Baptist Joint Committee podcast. I'm Jordan Edwards, Communications Associate at the BJC. I'm joined today by BJC Education Outreach Specialist Charles Watson Jr., and he's going to talk to us about the Religious Liberty Essay Scholarship Contest. So Charles, tell me about this year's topic.
This year's topic allows students to think about whether a religious attire can be worn in the workplace and the different obligations that a employer has to the employee to allow it or not allow it. It's a basic topic that these teenagers and high school students can appreciate because all of them shop at their local malls, all of them have an opportunity to go in stores, but they may never think about the attire that the workers in the stores have on. And so this gives them a chance to think about religious liberty issues that come up in the workplace as they go out into the workplace or may already be working.
Okay, and when will the winners be announced?
Winners will be announced at the end of the summer, 2015.
Who is eligible to enter the contest, and what are the prizes?
Well, all high school juniors and seniors graduating in the class of 2015 and 2016 are eligible to enter our contest this year. You can be an international student. We've had applicants from all over the world. Our grand prize winner gets a $2,000 scholarship and an opportunity to come to Washington, D.C. Our second place winner will receive $1,000 of scholarship money, and our third place winner will receive $250 of scholarship money.
Okay. And Charles, when are the entries due?
Well, our entries must be turned in and postmarked by March 6th of 2015. We know that some students may wait to the end to turn things in, but as long as the entry is postmarked by March 6, 2015, they will be eligible for our contest and our scholarship.
Now, the Religious Liberty Essay Scholarship Contest is sponsored by the Religious Liberty Council of the Baptist Joint Committee, and it's been around for about a decade now. In fact, this is the 10th annual contest. What do you see students learn from this experience each year? What can a student do to make their essay more appealing to the judges?
Well, first thing they can do is make sure they answer the question. Our topics on religious liberty can be very passionate to students. Religion is something that is very close to most of our students that enter our contest heart. So sometimes they go off on tangents about how they feel more than researching the question and actually giving an answer that's supported through different resources, not just Wikipedia, but actually going and taking the time to read about the issue. So our judges definitely judge on content and the content that is provided and that is backed up by resources. One of the main things I would tell the students that are going to enter, make sure they look at our entry form and know that everything that they need about and every question that they have about the contest is actually on our entry form, whether that's how many words can be used, whether that's where to send it, the postmark date, all that is listed on our entry forms. And if they have any more interest in the question, they can always visit our website at www.bjconline.org/contest, and they can get all the information they need from the website.
Is there anything else you would like to add?
Yes, I definitely encourage our participants that decide to enter our contest to make sure they don't staple their entries. Make sure they just put a paper clip on it and mail it in. Try not to fold it. And also, very important, you must mail everything to us at once. Let it be one complete package, your advisor form, your essay, and your entry form. One package, postmarked by March 6, 2015.
Thank you for joining me, Charles. Let's close this podcast by hearing the 2014 winner, Daniel Ingham of Ellicott City, Maryland, read his winning essay in front of the BJC Board of Directors meeting. The 2014 topic asked students to analyze whether or not it was appropriate for religious messages, such as Bible verses, to appear on run-through banners at school-sponsored events, such as football games. Here's Daniel.
Good morning. I want to first take a moment to thank the BJC and then also the Religious Liberty Council for sponsoring my essay. I'm very, very grateful, so thank you guys. My essay was titled Run Through Banners and Religious References, Exploring the Rights and Responsibilities Afforded in the First Amendment. In May of 2013, a Texas court judge ruled in favor of a group of high school cheerleaders displaying biblical verses on run-through banners during school football games. Deeming the banners constitutionally permissible, State District Judge Steve Thomas said that no law prohibits cheerleaders from using religious-themed banners at school sporting events. Ultimately, the court's decision came down to the fact that the banner was student-led, student-initiated, and therefore constitutionally permissible private speech. This seemingly local news story received national notoriety because of its resonance with an ongoing debate surrounding the Bill of Rights. Scholars and policymakers constantly grapple with the combined meaning of the Establishment Clause and the Free Speech Clause in the Bill of Rights. The run-through banner story quickly became a convenient vehicle to breathe new life into this debate. The Establishment Clause states that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Public schools run by the government, therefore, cannot show religious preference. The second half of the First Amendment, the Free Exercise Clause, holds that Congress must avoid prohibiting the free exercise thereof. For publicly funded schools, this means the school must permit the private practices of any religion on school grounds without interfering with learning instruction. In order to more fully understand the proper course of action in the run-through banner case, we must first look to where public schools have come into conflict with the First Amendment in the past. Three cases in particular hash out the murky water that has set the stage for this review of the run-through banner case. First, Abington School District v. Shemp in 1963 helped to clearly establish the separation of church and state in the school system when Edward Shemp of Abington Township, Pennsylvania, filed suit against the Abington School District because his children were required to hear and occasionally read from the Bible every morning. The court ruled with Shemp, finding that the reading of the verses possesses a devotional and religious character and constitutes, in effect, a religious observance. This case supports the Establishment Clause because it holds that the public school system cannot endorse any one religion or establish a religious ceremony into school-sponsored activities. What Abington clarifies for the run-through banner case is that schools cannot conduct obligatory religious activities on school grounds because the school would be demonstrating a preference of religion. The second case is Santa Fe Independent School District v. Doe from 2000, in which students offer Christian prayers over the public address system at home football games. Students voted for student-led Christian invocations during a school election. Arguably, this made the activity student-run and student-initiated, as opposed to the prayer in Abington, which was run by the schools. However, the court sided against the district, ruling that an objective Santa Fe High School student will unquestionably perceive the inevitable pregame prayer as stamped with the school's seal of approval. This court case demonstrates that a speech is public when it occurs at a school-sponsored event, on school grounds, and is led by a school representative. The religious prayer effectively demonstrates the school's approval on that religious prayer and, by extension, that religion. Santa Fe adds to the precedent set by Abington by clarifying that even if a religious activity occurs at a school-sponsored event, which is student-run and student-initiated, it is still impermissible because it can be perceived that the school has demonstrated some level of approval, inferring religious bias. The lines drawn in these cases are articulated clearly in the conclusion to Board of Education v. Mergens, which allowed a public school student to begin a Christian after-school Bible study group. Mergens found that there is a crucial difference between government speech endorsing religion, which the Establishment Clause forbids based on bias, and private speech endorsing religion, which the Free Speech and Free Exercise Clauses protect. Public government-sponsored speech must not prefer religion, while private speech about religion is protected. With this important context applied to the run-through banner case, it is clear that the deciding factor for the cheerleaders is whether their speech occurred in a private or public setting. The main defense of the cheerleaders' position was that the banner effort was student-led and student-initiated. The students argue that the administration was not involved in the process. This argument leans heavily on the Free Exercise Clause, positing that the cheerleaders should not be barred from their constitutional right to freely exercise their religion. The first major problem with the cheerleader stance is that cheerleading is a school-sponsored sport. Tryouts, practices, performance, and school uniforms sporting the school logo are all funded by the school. There is no question that the cheerleaders are meant to represent both the student body and the administration. This means that the banner effort is in fact not student-initiated. Therefore, a student-initiated activity in a school-sponsored sport at a school-sponsored event is no longer private speech. The cheerleaders are leaders of the school. In this case, student-led is the equivalent of school-led. This contradicts the precedent set in Abington and Santa Fe because it amounts to the school showing public preference of religion. The second major problem is the nature of the free exercise of religion in the run-through banner case. As ruled in Santa Fe Independent School District v. Doe, pregame prayers cannot be permitted because the school is essentially sealing that prayer with its approval. The same goes for overtly Christian run-through banners because the cheerleaders and football players are elected to represent the school on the field. Any messages that the cheerleaders deliver at the school-sponsored event will be directly tied to the school. This means that the audience is captive and obligated to listen to the religious message of the school via the cheerleaders. The cheerleaders' free exercise is no longer private and therefore impeding the free exercise of the audience. In the run-through banner case, the administration's responsibilities to avoid religious preference overrule the students' ill-conceived constitutional rights to display biblical quotes. While the cheerleaders cannot make Christian run-through banners, they have many other options when it comes to demonstrating and practicing their religion. During school and during school-sponsored events, students are allowed to pray individually or in groups, discuss religion, and read scripture as long as it does not interfere with instruction. The cheerleaders can also initiate a school prayer group or theology club. These are all private speech activities that are protected by the free exercise clause without interfering with the establishment clause. However, once that private religious speech enters the sphere of a public forum, it is in conflict with the Establishment Clause and no longer permissible. Cheerleaders should not be able to display overtly Christian run-through banners at football games because that is public speech being made by the school that is in direct conflict with the Establishment Clause. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Baptist Joint Committee podcast. If you'd like more information on the 2015 Religious Liberty Essay Scholarship Contest, including the complete topic, rules, and forms, as well as videos of past winners reading their essays, visit www.bjconline.org/contest.